Hey, 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 you're now listening or watching the Halos in the Infield Todd Fox Show with your host, Todd Fox. Hey, 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 welcome into another episode of the Todd Fox Halos in the Infield post-game podcast. Not really a post-game podcast, but just checking in with a podcast here tonight because, and this will be for Wednesday morning, we didn't have anyone else record and we're keeping with a tradition going Monday through Friday, and we're presented to you by Noble L Works, where you can get 10% off of any drink just by mentioning Halos in the Infield. Also 714 tickets, and you can go and onto the website or call them the old-fashioned way. Just mention HITI or Halos in the Infield over the phone or in the apply now code at checkout to get 10% off of multiple tickets. It doesn't matter what you're going to pay to see, you get that 10% off. So with that being said, let's get started, shall we? And this is going to be a quick show, not a long show, but we're going to talk about what happened tonight against the Dodgers. And it is a little bit unsettling still for me to see Shohei Ohtani in a Dodger blue uniform. And it's understandable, but at the same time, you know, we kind of saw this coming. It wasn't a big shocker. It would have been more of a shocker had he gone to any other team except the Dodgers. We kind of let, the birdie was let out, or a birdie let the bad, what is it called? See, I get stumbled on words. A little birdie told us that Shohei Ohtani wanted to be a Dodger from the start. And basically, it was one of those things where had the rule not been changed for Shohei Ohtani as an Angel, and the National League didn't get their panties in a bunch, because before Shohei Ohtani, the National League had no intentions of switching to a designated hitter. And getting that designated hitter, all of a sudden you had all these pundits for the National League always say, well, that's what makes the National League so much better, because they play to the tradition of real baseball. Pitchers always have to hit. And then you had Gubazov going, hey, the best athlete on the baseball field is the pitcher because he can hit and he can pitch. Well, that was annihilated once Shohei Ohtani came. You can't tell me for one moment that Shohei Ohtani was, that rule was because the Dodgers were pissed that he came down south to the Angels, and eventually they wanted to get their grimy little hands on Shohei Ohtani. And guess what? The devil got his patron. He got his Shohei Ohtani. You know, the what they wanted for so long, they got. And you know, Shohei Ohtani, look, again, put in some good years here. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I know he was one of the most favored guys here, and he had, outstanding work ethic, and he was a nice guy. I mean, there's really not much to say negative about him. But, you know, when he's gone now, it's like any ex that you have, even if the relationship was your fault that it broke up, you're going to find something wrong that she pissed you off to tell your friends over a beer. And I think this is one of those times where I'm telling you, not over a beer, but over a solo cup, the fact that, Shohei Ohtani was great and all, was one of the best players I've ever seen, but now I'm going to not like him. And a lot of Angel fans are like, well, I'm still going to root for him. I'm still going to cheer for him. I'm sorry, I can't. I can't do that. And you're a better person for that than me. I can't sit there and watch him in Dodger blue and be amazed when he hits a home run or he hits two home runs in a game, including 9 strikeouts, the kind of crap he would do here in Anaheim. I can't see that. I can't like it. My distaste for that organization goes beyond my love for Shohei Ohtani. And I'm not one of these guys that burned his jersey. I still got my Shohei Ohtani jersey. I still got my bobbleheads and whatever other memorabilia I have of that guy. He was great while he was here. But the fact of the matter is, whether you want to be Team Artie or Team Organization with the Angels and say, well, you know what? They blew it by not giving him the contract. Or Artie made one last run, but he wouldn't go that $70 million. He didn't like the deferred money. Do you, as an Angel fan, as honkish as you are with those thoughts, do you really believe that actually happened? I don't. And a lot of people say, well, there's smoke, there's fire. They report it. There's a lot of clickbait. There really is. And it's easy to say that, you gave it your all, like in a relationship, and it doesn't work because people don't know the inner workings of your relationship unless you tell them. So if you're there telling them you're the greatest guy ever, but your lady still leaves you or your man still leaves you, well, there's more to the meets the eye. There's more behind it. There's two sides to every story. Now, we could sit there and we could say, the Angels gave it all their shot and they gave it the best they could to save him, to keep him as in red. But in the end, what do we really know that? Or is it just more of, you know, smoke up our ass like Artie likes to do? So in that regard, I don't tend to believe it happened. And Artie's given us nothing to sink our teeth into and hold our hat on the and hold our hat on the rack and be like, you know what, I could stick with this guy. He's been more bad press, more bad things, more empty promises than promises. And people will still defend him and say he spent over $3 billion on free agents and blah, 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 blah. But it's not how, and I've said it many a times, it's not how much you spend, it's how you spend it. It's how you invest it. And he's never done a good job at that. He's never had good fan relations. And I can go on and on about Artie Moreno, but I'm not. What I'm going to do is just recap a little bit what happened with the Angels and Dodgers here tonight. There's not much you could take out of it. I just wanted to go on that little bit of Ohtani rant because, you know, it still bothers me before I get into the game. It still bothers me the fact that, you know, he's still wearing blue. And it's going to take me some time to get over it. But I have chosen a different, you know, outlook on the 2024 season. In years past, as far back as I can remember, it's sort of like that meme was today was a good day, you know, when it shows homeboy in the car. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, but you know, he's sitting back and he's enjoying the fact that the Angels won, the Dodgers lost. Today was a good day. And for me, that's always been my mantra too. It's like, that's how I feel, man. If the Dodgers lose and the Angels win, what a great day. What a great day. And, you know, during the regular season, I'd focus on, man, shit, they took 3 out of 3 from the Rockies, or, you know, they're blowing away that division as usual. You know, and my only hope was when they played the Central, because the Central, for whatever reason, has a winning record against the Dodgers over the last 10 years. And then you hope for those interleague matchups and you hope that the Angels can wipe the floor with them. But since I think 2018 or 17, the Angels have just been like under 500 against the Dodgers. Dodgers have caught up with record wise almost. I think they're only 3 or 4 games back of the Angels in the win loss total, you know, all time. So we used to hang our hat on that and be like, you know what, man, we got the overall record. We're pounding them this and that. But that's not there, too. This team is fading into more and more obscurity. And so I used to just, you know, again, follow the Dodgers because I wanted them to lose. I hated them so much. Last year, not so much. I think for the first time midway through the season, I got tired of them in first place, and I got tired of our team. Our team was enough to watch last year. Our team was enough to be frustrated over. So I didn't frustrate myself with the way that the Dodgers were winning. And I kind of just brushed it aside and was like, you know what? Wake me up when they get to the playoffs. When they get to the playoffs, we'll see the real Dodgers. And I wasn't let down last year. The Dodgers came through like they always do. They choke. In a non, 162-game season, they do what they're expected to do, and that's choke. So I was very happy. You know, the offseason was great. You know, watching them lose, it's like after they got punked, it's like I don't care who wins a World Series. I really don't. I didn't care if it was Houston, Atlanta, Texas, who eventually won it. I don't care. They're done. I'm done. So I kind of checked out and watched the World Series and the playoffs from afar. I really wasn't invested in it. And I'm like that every year. Till the day the Dodgers are eliminated, I am invested 100%. Because when postseason comes around, because our team can't make it, they can't even get into the tournament to see what happens, I'm rooting hard as I do root for my team to win here in Anaheim. I'm rooting for the Dodgers to blow it. And I love it. So with all that being said, my whole original point is watching Ohtani and all the superstars they have and Mookie Betts come out there and say, this team is for real. This is going to be like every team's World Series when they play us. All the cockiness that just oozes from not only the players on the fucking field, but the fans are just as obnoxious, if not more. And the commentators and the local press. So it's going to be great to see those doom and gloom, you know, posts and the choke memes and all that stuff come September, October again in 2024. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to choke again. I don't care if they got Ohtani. Again, Ohtani doesn't scare me till next year. And even then, he might not scare me as much as he would 2026, because you have to allow another like setback year once you come back from Tommy John. He's not going to be 100%. We've had two incidences of him coming back and experiences from him pitching. It takes him a while to get tuned up. This is going to be the third year he's going to lose as a starting pitcher. So a lot of people just don't talk about that. They gloss over it. They ignore his warts. They ignore the fact that this guy is going to demand a six-man rotation. He's going to mess with the guys they got next year. They're ignoring the fact that Buehler's coming off of Tommy John. It's going to be an exploratory year for him bouncing back and a few other pitchers. And they're just assuming this team's going to walk into the World Series and just win. They're assuming Yamamoto's the real deal. And he probably will be for half the season, if not three quarters of the season, because just like every international player that comes in, you need to get tape on him. Just like in any other sport, whether it's football, basketball, they could light it up, but it's what you do in the second and third years that defines you and can, if you can continue your success. Hideo Nomo was a flash in the pan, if you really think about it. He had a couple of good years. Once they figured out that tornado, he had a no-hitter later on, the tornado windup, they were able to read him, and he didn't turn into a long freaking career. He fizzled out. Same way with Gagne with the roids. You know, he was there blowing everyone away. As soon as they stopped his roids, bam, he's gone. Shanho Park was a flash in the pan for a couple of years. Very solid starter. They started to figure him out. He's gone. Look what happened to Hyunjin Ryu. So until you get me a body of work that's going to last 10 years, and some people are saying, well, you're a hater. You know, this guy's already done it for a long time. Really? Has he? I haven't seen but 2.5 years of him actually semi-healthy. And even in the healthy years, he's had a couple injuries or a couple setbacks. But he's had, only 2.5 good years out of 6 with the Angels. And we're going into a 7th season where he's not going to be 100%, meaning he might tear the cover off the ball as a hitter with all that protection in that lineup. Damn right. But what's he going to do on the mound? Nada, because he can't pitch this year. So we'll see. We'll see. But I'm very optimistic that, I know the Dodgers are going to be good. But again, wake me up when they get to October. They're just going to choke again. They're going to do that again, and I will not be disappointed once more. So let them talk. It's just going to be funnier when they fall and fade. And my whole point is, I'm not going to focus on the regular season whatsoever with the Dodgers. Like I said, like that crappy song that Roger Lodge always plays when the Angels get eliminated, he plays Wake Me Up When September Ends. Wake Me Up When September Ends as far as the Dodgers getting to the postseason, because they will. And once they get there, then the fun starts when they choke and they find creative ways to choke. So I can't wait. Now getting to the Angels. And I know it took about 12, almost 13 minutes before I can get to the Angels, but getting to my Angels and your Angels, what we're here for. This team, through spring, they played a few games already, about almost 10 or just under 10 games. And so far, again, I've never been one to put any kind of stock in any kind of preseason game. I'm the type of guy and fan where if they play, 24 to 27 games in preseason, if they lose all of them, but players are making individual strides and they look like they're ready for the season, that's all I care about. Wins and losses are completely out the window. Who cares? Because in most of these games, even up to the end, you're putting in guys who should not even be on the roster as your closer. And if they give up a 5 spot in the 9th inning, the Angels had a tough one in Tempe. They lost to the Diamondbacks 9-5. Who cares? Who cares? Those guys aren't going to be in the starting lineup. For me, if you're a real fan, you care about the individual play. You care about the guys who are going to make the rosters. Yes, there's a few guys that you're like, man, this guy's outside the box. His stuff is looking really good in spring, and I think he has a chance to make the roster. Or be really high up on their list in AAA, and maybe he gets called up in May or June. Those kind of players are exciting to watch in spring training. Your guys who come in there with a 7 ERA from last year, from single A, from double A, and they're in there just to eat up some innings to finish off these games, could care less. I mean, maybe their family or scouts want to see if they could turn it around and have a better, face some semi-major league baseball players by the time they get in the game. There's really not much to take out of it. So spring training for me is just filler. I can't wait to get to the season and to when they whittle down the rosters and you can kind of see who's staying and going, because right now I think it's you're filling out your bullpen. You're getting that fifth starter locked in. You know, you're trying out a couple of these reclamation projects as far as hitters like Sano and Dozier, and you're trying to see if any one of those guys are going to make the team. If Soto's going to make the team, is Adele get showing you enough to where he's going to have a good starting spot? Is he going to be like, is Hicks going to overtake him for an outfield spot, or is he going to overtake Hicks and make him the fourth outfielder? You know, all these things that, you know, have to be on Ron Washington's list. And so far, what I've seen from the actual games that I've watched only a handful, but the biggest thing that has stuck out to me watching the Ron Washington Angels, you know, compared to watching Numbnuts Nevin from last year and, you know, high as a kite Joe Maddon the year before, I've noticed that, again, there's not much you could take out of spring except individual play. But the team aspect that I've seen and that I'm getting excited about, the team that, you know, the team play that has me really excited is seeing the hitters taking a lot of pitches. And they're the batter's eye, I don't know if this is the instruction by Washington himself or the hitting coaches, or just this is an overall organization now that we're shifting gears. We're not going Marcus Thames, Paul Sereno, swing for the fences, launch angle, aggression in the box. Because even Trouty Poo, you know, took a walk or two tonight, and these guys were getting hits. Nettle wasn't swinging for the fences. He flared one into the outfield. Nice hit by Sano. You had good defense by Sano over there at third because Rendon's vagina was hurting, so he missed another game already in spring training. He's in midseason form already with injuries. And, you know, you had some good at-bats. And I saw an at-bat, too, where, dude, Matt Theis, he came up there and he worked a count full. But he struck out, but he had a nice rip. And, you know, and then you had, you know, Shanawal come up there with a nice easy triple when, you know, guys like Patrick O'Neill and Mark Gubazaw, who I love, but, he reads the script too much. He's listening to Artie too much. You know, John Carpino, they want these guys to say a certain thing. And last year it was all about the launch angle. And those tools got up there and got so upset because Shanawal wasn't following protocol. He wasn't hitting the home runs. He's not a sexy first baseman, you know. And so when he hit his first home run, Patrick O'Neill was like, hey, he finally hit a home run. Wow, that took him a long time. It's like, Dick, he's only played like 25 games at the time. Like, why are you pressuring a dude like him to hit home runs when that's not his game? You know, Darren Erstad didn't come out there hitting a bunch of home runs when he first started. He was like 10 and under at first. It's just he was getting hits, getting contact, working walks. And you put a guy like him at the top of the lineup or at two, in, you know, behind Neto, or you put Moniak right there. You like that. Renifo, whatever. So I am really surprised pleasantly that this team is taking a better approach at the plate already. And I'm very excited to see how it pans out into the regular season. Now, two things, if this continues, I'm not concerned, but I'm very pleased and I'm feeling better about the overall hitting. I'm upset we didn't get those Moustakas and we didn't get the Urshelas back, but maybe these guys can fit the roles a little bit. And if we're walking more, putting guys on, pressuring more, it's only going to help us instead of having the commercials last longer than our innings. So far in spring, they're putting together patient at bats, even with a faster pitch clock and having to get up there and get moving faster because MLB wants these games to 2.5 hours. You're still seeing better at bats compared to last year by far. And then the bullpen has looked really good. It seems like most of the arms they brought out have done a good job. You've had, you know, so the starters, you've seen a little bit of brilliance from. Silseth looked good tonight. You had a couple of other starters. I'm forgetting Dana or whatever, the new kid. They've got some guys, you know. I mean, again, are they reeling us in? Is this fool's gold? Again, I'm trying to back myself off the ledge from jumping all in again. And I'm not going to sit here and be like Roger Lodge and be like, I think this team's going to win 91 games. I even think Trent Rush with his, hey, this team is going to win 82. That's even hard to fathom at this point. I got to see something from this team. But my wild card, it is not like a wild card from a fan base looking at their team as far as a player being that special wild card or a group of guys from that set team. As a fan, you look at it and you're like, well, if these guys take off, the team can be way better and they could have a surprising record to me. You know, like I predict them to be here, but if these guys get going, they could be here. And I think for me, what's got to take effect is the Ron Washington effect. If everyone buys into what he is drawing up on the drawing board, and if they are all in on the mission statement that Ron Washington and his coaching staff have been preaching, that will take this team to a new elevation. That team will be much better, even with getting all these players that they should have got, you know, these free agents. And working from within, they could be a lot better than we thought. They could be a lot more surprising on a nightly basis, and that's all we want. We want this team to compete. We don't think that they're going to make the playoffs. Can they? Yes, by all means. They could grab that last wild card. They could possibly get the sixth spot. But it's just going to come down to consistency. It's going to come down to sticking to the game plan, believing in it, and these guys staying healthy. And if they can, and Mike Trout returns to that form, there's a shot. You know, call up the inner honk in me, but there's a chance. But I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your butt and say they're going to win 85. I'm going to give you my prediction once we do that prediction show, and it's not going to be as flattering as it was last year. Last year, you know, I had way higher hopes for this team. I think for the first time since before Socha, I didn't have any expectations. So, you know, this is just, you know, whatever happens, happens type of year. You just hope for growth. And despite the piece of shit who's in control and Artie Moreno, you hope for growth on the field and in the organization, and that they could start taking care of their minor league systems better, and that the coaching staff sends a positive vibe through the players and they believe. And if they believe, this team can win and make it exciting at Angel Stadium. That's all I'm hoping for, because there's, you know, this season's going to be a tough one, man. You know, the deck is stacked against the Angels. No more are they going to be, you know, because even with a Trout Ohtani factor, even with them not always, it seemed like on a yearly basis, not able to reel in a real starter because Artie's a cheapskate or doesn't believe in pitching. And you're always behind the eight ball. And so this is one season, you know, but they're always picked high. They're always rated high on these video games too, but it's not this year. This year, you know, they're just going to go out there and have fun, I think. And if they can do that, they'll keep the fans like you and me involved and intrigued, and not because of Artie, not because of the bobbleheads and the stupid promotions that they have. We're going to be actually watching the game and enjoying ourselves. And that's all you can ask for. That's all I ask for. Just a nice competitive team, and who knows? Again, with Ohtani not being there, with that pressure of him not being there, the pitching staff can relax a little bit. We all know the hitting is going to be better, but the bullpen looks really good on paper, and let's hope that translates to this season, because then all you would need is for these starters to go 5 to 6 innings, and then you could freaking throw it over that bullpen. But we have to have that mentality, which I think Ron has said that he's not going to put him on these baby-fied, wussy-fied, I pitched last night, therefore I cannot pitch tonight. So if he's keeping that mentality, I'm going to be happy, you're going to be happy, and we're going to see the best that this team can bring to the plate. So I hope you enjoyed the show, and we're going to have more content tomorrow. Stay tuned. But this is my attempt at a show, and I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Until tomorrow, the Angels won tonight 4-0, and we're recapping this here for the morning. And, yeah, go Angels.